Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Hey, you know who loves these long segments even more than we do? Our managers.
Yeah.
They love it when we go this long.
So what happened to the spot load that we were going to have this hour?
I can't believe I haven't gotten any texts yet. I feel neglected now. Mr. Schwanee.
Happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you.
Poop-poop-dee-doo.
Serenaded by a rather legendary figure in the entertainment industry.
Mr. President.
Far from
for
that.
All the things you've done.
Maryland. Those creepy stairs to JFK right in front of Jackie on top of it. Happy birthday, Schwanee.
Thank you.
Not your
Thank
birthday,
you very much.
Not your birthday today, but
no.
It was a couple of days ago, right?
Thursday, yeah. Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Andrew.
Did you have a nice birthday?
Yeah, I did have a nice birthday. Well, to start with, the weather was great.
Right.
And I had dinner with my dad and a couple of friends on Thursday evening. And so it was a very nice day. Also hearing from some people that I wanted to hear from various parts of our great nation. And so it was a very nice day.
Very nice. Did you get my card and gift that I sent you?
No, I didn't get that yet.
That U.S. postal system.
No, didn't get it.
Did you get Andy's gift card?
No.
I got him the exact same thing I got him last year.
I know why.
I
didn't get it, because you went to Schwanee Mart and it hasn't been delivered yet.
You have to pay extra for speedy delivery there.
From Schwanee Mart.
Schwanee Mart, yeah. Well, that's nice. Very nice.
Shop at Schwanee Mart and spend.
Did you go out and have like a fancy dinner?
Yeah, rather fancy dinner.
Yeah. What'd you have?
I had grilled mahi-mahi tuna.
Ooh, look at you.
And it was good. There's a place not far from where Dad is living now in Cedar Lake, Indiana, and it's right on the lake. A restaurant that folks out that way would be probably familiar with, called The Lighthouse. Very nice place to go. There's inside and outside seating. It is a nautically themed restaurant, meaning that they talk about ships and boats. Well, near and dear to my heart.
Where is it, near Michigan City?
No. No, it's Southlake County, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. South, that would be southwest from Michigan City.
Okay.
So as you continue to go south through Lake County, Indiana, it's in the southern portion of that county.
There's some kind of lighthouse something in near Michigan City.
You're thinking of the...
Is that an outlet mall?
Yeah, you're thinking of the outlet mall, lighthouse. Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what you're thinking of. Right. But no, this is same... term, same name, but it's just a restaurant. And I've been there before for various events, and we'll definitely go back.
Well, it was great. You had a nice time.
I did. Had a really nice day.
Andy will appreciate this, because he gets the same kind of texts and phone calls as I do from your dad, saying,
please come and rescue me.
Is there any way that you can call me and pretend there's an emergency? So... I can get the hell out of here.
Just like when we were in South Dakota, right?
Yeah.
He said he kept leaving. That's why he kept leaving the room.
Yeah, to call me. He texted me like four times on Thursday night.
I mean, it got so bad for me, I had to block his number. Right.
I know. But that was nice of him, even though none of us came to bail him out. It was nice of him to sit there with you for a little while.
Thank you so much.
He's a nice guy that way. He'll do
He's
stuff
the best.
Like that. He is.
He is the best.
He is. Well, happy birthday to you. Many, many
Thank
more.
Thank you so much.
Healthy, happy.
I'm 36.
Yeah, and a liar. it's not 26.
Our far-flung forecast takes us way down south.
Hey.
To Columbus, Mississippi.
Columbus, Mississippi. M-I-S-S.
I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
I-P-P-I.
Columbus, Mississippi is on the eastern portion of the state.
Mm-hmm.
It was found in the writings of the explorer Hernando de Soto, who had reportedly crossed the nearby Tombigbee River.
Loved his automobiles, by the way.
DeSoto automobiles.
Yeah, the DeSotos.
It's been around a long time. Columbus founded in 1819, so it's 200 years ago that it was founded. But we bring up Columbus, Mississippi, because it is the home of a legendary sportscaster,
Uh-oh.
Red Barber.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Red Barber, born February 7th, 1908, in Columbus, Mississippi.
1908, is that what
1908.
Yeah.
And he died October 22nd of 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Named Old Redhead. And we mentioned Columbus.
That was
we
my nickname in high school also, by the way.
Old Redhead?
Yep. I used to wear a bozo wig in high school.
I still want to see you with the big bozo sunglasses.
The kind they put on horses?
Yeah, the kind they put on horses, yes. Now, Andy, maybe you know this. I'm glad you're here because you may be well aware of this. And the reason why we bring up Red Barber.
I was wondering.
Because it was 80 years ago tomorrow that Red Barber called the first televised Major League Baseball game.
Wow.
August 26, 1939 on station W2XBS.
That was my favorite station back then. Yeah. Remember when Eddie and Jobo did mornings on W2XBX?
Love those t-shirts. I still have one.
It was a game between Cincinnati and the Brooklyn Dodgers.
No, wait, the first TV game.
Televised game.
TV game. But
yes.
It happened like practically at the end of the season, though.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. TV very much in its infancy, and the information we have here, there were a grand total of about 400 TV sets
in the
country? New York area.
Oh, in the
New York area. Okay. Yeah, this was a local game because later the station became WNBC-TV.
Yeah.
But it was originally known as WX2XBS.
Boy, I'm glad they changed naming stations from like that.
A little easier to say.
WGN's a lot easier to say than all that mess.
But since we're talking about a broadcaster and a baseball announcer, we don't have audio from Red's game, the first game here. But
it would be great if we did have some other historic broadcast.
We do have another historic broadcast.
Imagine that.
Red Barber calling Roger Maris's 61st home run.
Oh, okay.
Low. Ball two. Is reacting negatively. They want to see Maris get something he can swing on. There it is. $5,000, somebody. He got his pitch. Look, $5,000. And here is the fellow with 61. You're seeing a lot today.
Red Barber calling Roger Maris's 61st home run.
He is one of the classic broadcasters of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, and he worked for a couple different teams, which is interesting that it was 1939 that the first TV broadcast involved Cincinnati and the Dodgers, because he had just left the Reds in 1938 and began his first season with the Dodgers in 1939.
Hmm.
So he had intimate knowledge of both of those clubs. And he worked for the Dodgers mainly. That was where he was best known. And then worked for the Yankees from 1954 to 1966. So,
I knew you'd like that. I knew you would love this one, Andy.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and he worked with Vin Scully. Vin Scully worked with him. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Vin Scully broke into broadcasting under the tutelage, if you can use that word, of Red Barber, because Red wasn't all that helpful. To the young guy named Vince. Well, get a little territorial. Vin earned his stripes and eventually took over when Red retired and moved to the Yankees. So, a lot of A lot of people will tell you that Red Barber, Vince Scully, Mel Allen.
Mel Allen, another legend.
Yeah. Classics.
Guys that were known more nationally, I guess, than some of the guys around here.
Yeah.
But Jack Brickhouse certainly had a big name.
What year did Jack start?
Well, he did
40s?
He did Cubs and White Sox both, I think, for the 1948 season.
Yeah.
So it had to be in the 40s.
Yeah. For radio. So radio. And then
correct.
When WGN television started.
1948.
He made the, he did both.
Right.
He did both.
He did Bears for a while and...
Oh, he did everything.
People forget about him. Yeah, I was going to say he interviewed presidents.
Presidents, yeah.
He did everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Columbus, Mississippi, cool. Home of Red Barber, partly sunny today, 76, and storms forecast for tomorrow and Tuesday.
Very interesting.
Columbus, show. Mississippi.
This is the reason why this is the favorite part of the show for me.
Mm-hmm. And I knew Andy would like this.
Love
because
it. From here, it's downhill for me for the rest of the show.
I'm Dave Schwann in the W3XY2ZGN radio newsroom.
Didn't WGN used to be called something like that?
Yeah.
Before it was WGN?
There were call letters before Colonel McCormick and the Tribune bought the radio station, which
World's
was across the street at the Wrigley Building.
Right.
Yeah. I'll have to run down the hall and check the old pictures there. But there's two guys sitting next to a transmitter, and it was... the call letters were something else. I'll have to check that out. But and now it is.
How much
just...
do you think that old microphone in that picture smelled like whiskey
and cigar smoke?
And cigars. Hey, let's go on there. Hey, is Little Orphan Annie on yet?
I am in the WX2Z2CQ calling XR WGN Radio newsroom.
Where's my chewing tobacco?
These are.
I believe the Democratic candidates for president now are down to 21 after several have dropped out. But now one has been added who will challenge President Trump for the Republican nomination for president. And that is former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh, who on his Twitter account this morning said,
"When I first started thinking about running for president, talking to my family, close friends, people I trust, I started hearing about all the things I needed to do to test the waters. Start an exploratory committee, hire a speechwriter, get an image consultant, all the practical steps that conventional candidates take. But these are not conventional times. These are urgent times. Let's be real, these are scary times. So the hell with all those conventional things. Today I'm declaring my candidacy for President of the United States because it's time to be brave. We have someone in the White House who we all know is unfit. Someone who lies virtually every time he opens his mouth. And someone who places his own interests above the nation's interest at every single turn. We cannot afford four more years of Donald Trump. No way.
So there, former Congressman Joe Walsh going on. You can check out his Twitter account if you want to hear the whole message. But what will this mean? Will it be effective in any way? President Trump's poll ratings with Republicans is something like in the 80 percentile range. WGN-TV political analyst Paul Lisnick joining us on the phone. Hi, Paul. Good morning.
Dean, good morning, and happy Sunday to you. You know, you listen to Joe Walsh, he sounds like he said, if you didn't know, you'd say, oh, that's another Democrat going after the president.
Right.
Joe Walsh got swept in the Tea Party movement into Congress, and so he's as, you know, right and conservative as the best of them, and so it's interesting to see him go after the president.
Yeah, maybe even more so, but... What are your thoughts about someone who has been so controversial, who has through his history as a congressman, political activist, has said and done things that have been pretty shocking to a lot of people?
You know, you're right. And, of course, this will begin to probably unfold as this campaign unfolds. The president has really yet to attack him, but I don't know if he's taking any of this seriously. You know, the real question is, what is behind Joe Walsh's move? What's his motive here? And I don't know, per se. I've reached out to him, as many have. And but the bottom line is this about Joe Walsh trying to, you know, make a national name for himself and move on? I'm not sure that it is. Joe has seemed to indicate he's had a bit of a reformation of his own own views. He's talked about the fact that in many ways he sounded like President Trump years ago, and now looks back and regrets the way he handled it, regrets the way he existed in politics, and thinks that it's wrong. I think what Joe Walsh does, Dean, is he gives very conservative members of the Republican Party, the Tea Party, now known as the Freedom Caucus Group, a place to go if they're dissatisfied with President Trump, because, you know, listen, Walsh would appoint the same kinds of candidates to the court and all of that. The thing is, though, Trump is really, and you said it, his popularity in the high 80s, low 90s, he's really untouchable. So people are waiting to see whether a John Kasich gets into the race, somebody of the moderate realm gets into the race. But the real question for President Trump is when somebody like a Joe Walsh gets in. I don't know how deep the jab will be, but it'll certainly be interesting TV for a while.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, what will be interesting to see if he gets any traction with this, if he gets any money with this.
And I'm watching his Twitter feed as you are, and listen, there are certainly supporters on there saying, hey, look, I've just given to you, and hey, folks, it's one thing to support him, and so you got to give the guy money, and you're absolutely right. We're going to see in the coming days and weeks what kind of money he generates. If indeed he's generating some, you know, significant dollars, then you have to take a closer look at him. This may just be a shot in the pan, and with no real money coming in, remains to be seen. It's brand new.
And also, if he does get some traction, if he does get some money, certainly he's going to get a lot of attention, being really the first one to take on an incumbent president. Won't that encourage others who have been on the fence? I mean, there have been three or four other Republicans who have said that they're thinking about it as well, right?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, so Mark Sanford, but everybody has a little baggage that comes with them. Mark Sanford, of course, we remember who, when he went missing, he was off on the Appalachian Trail with his mistress. He's looking at a challenge. We'll hear from him about Labor Day. Bill Weld, a former governor and also the lieutenant governor and the vice presidential candidate to the Libertarian Party last time around. But, you know, again, more moderate. That's why I make the point, which is, or a John Kasich, these kinds of faces that come in who are in more of the moderate realm, not so much Sanford, but the other ones, you know, give Republicans a place to go. But, you know, you have to ask, why is President Trump's support so strong, given all that gets laid out against him, even that evangelical so strongly for him? It's because of the conservative appointments, and it's because people's pocketbooks are still doing well. That, of course, is coming into question now, depending on who you believe and who you read in terms of financial analysts. But if the economy begins to turn a bit towards the negative, then President Trump becomes vulnerable, because that's what it's going to take, I think, for some people who even support him regardless of anything, may just shift when they see somebody else might bring us a different realm. People also remember Jimmy Carter got a challenge from Senator Ted Kennedy back then, in a campaign, right? But even though Kennedy was popular at that time, you're right, taking on an incumbent for president, not an easy thing to do, and of course Kennedy lost.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot more about this in the coming days.
Just beginning.
I'm sure that there has to be a tweet coming from the president sometime soon. It would be the rare.
First, he's got to deal with China and a few other issues he's got going on over at the G7.
Well, that's he's maybe a little bit distracted, but that often doesn't stop him from firing out a tweet of someone who is taking him on and saying some pretty inflammatory things about him.
There's no question about it. There can be one of those emerging at any time.
Paul, in addition to being a fine political analyst, also author, the new book is called Assume Guilt. Is that correct?
Yeah, Assume Guilt. It's my first fiction book, Dean. And interestingly enough, even though it's fiction, it's about Illinois political corruption. but hey, you know, some names you'll recognize. I use our WGN friends and all that. You're in there. Everybody's in there for kind of fun. But it's my first fiction effort. Gotten good reviews, so I'm happy about that. Hope people check it out.
It's out and available to you right now. Paul, thank you for taking some time to talk with us this morning. We'll see you in the office soon.
Always a pleasure, Dean.
There is WGN TV political analyst Paul Liznick. It's 10:18. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. And let's check in with meteorologist Mike Hammernick. Gorgeous morning. And let's see if the day's going to stay that way and what the week looks like coming up. Mike, good morning. Nice to see you got back from the triathlon that you could join us for the weather forecast this morning.
Yeah, and record time this year, too.
Well, you know, taking out that swimming part, you were able to get it done much faster.
That's true.
A lot of people don't know that Mike Hammernick, we call him Iron Man around the office. you know, because of his athletic abilities.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, a lot of people didn't know that, including myself. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm glad we could bring that up for you, though.
But, yeah, boy, a tip of the hat to the people that do the triathlon. It's kind of a shame that, you know, the swimming portion of it, I guess, hearing a lot of disappointment from the athletes that are taking part today, because the swimming portion is one of the things they really look forward to. It might be the one of the more fun things portions of it. I really thought that was going to go on, that they'd be able to do it, because the swimming portion of it's held in Monroe Harbor, and that's partially protected from the waves, Dean, by breakwaters. Yeah. But apparently, even in Monroe Harbor, just a little too wavy. The buoy we have at Ohio Street Beach is indicating waves under 1 foot, and that's in that protected area, what they refer to as the playpen off of Lakeshore Drive there.
Is that considered a high wave?
No. Well, you know, that's what's interesting. No, I mean, the waves, you know, in open waters are definitely up there. They're 3 to 4 feet. We're getting, right. You know, all the buoys are showing on the Illinois and Wisconsin side that waves are up to 3 to 4 feet. But you get in that breakwater area, you know, those breakwaters off of Oak Street Beach and Ohio Street Beach, those really protect those areas from the high waves, and that's why all those boats congregate in that one area off of Ohio Street Beach there, because that's there's not as much wave action.
It's less
there.
Turbulent them, sure.
So I was hoping that, you know, they'd be able to go on with it, but apparently not. The wave's still up around 1 foot, not conducive to swimming.
Safety first.
Yep. And a nice day, though. It really is going to be low humidity for the athletes. They're loving that. The temperatures are going to be a little bit warmer today than they have been. We're talking low 80s for the south suburbs, northwest Indiana, and southwest Michigan this afternoon. So warm up. A few more clouds around. We'll be in and out of the clouds throughout the day, but not as much sun as we had. But still a real nice day coming up with upper 70s in most spots, upper lower 80s in the south suburbs, and mid-70s along the lakefront as that lake breeze will continue. And the rain will hold off until later on tonight or tomorrow. And there's an outside chance you could see a sprinkle late this afternoon, but that is looking highly unlikely. But the rain chances ramp up tonight. It's going to rain tomorrow. You're going to need some rain gear on Monday as well as Monday night. But this system that's moving in moves on out on Tuesday. We've been on quite a run. What a glorious 5-day stretch of weather we've had here in Chicago, with the low humidity, the nice lake breeze, and all that sunshine, a really clear blue sky, too.
What a difference it makes.
Yeah. Right? And we have two more of those coming this week, too, Dean.
Of the nice days like
that? Yeah, of Canadian air masses that'll move in, one on Wednesday and Thursday, and another one perhaps over Labor Day weekend, kind of a new development on Sunday and Monday. Could be a little on the cool side for Labor Day weekend, if this comes to fruition. It's not a done deal yet, but it's a chance of one of those days we could be in the 60s for most of the day.
Wow.
So, yeah, that would be definitely more than a hint of fall. That would be a pretty good taste of fall, perhaps, sometime over Labor Day weekend. It's not a done deal yet, but we're getting some signals. We got two more shots of this Canadian air, one over Wednesday and Thursday, and another one later next week. High temperature-wise, 79 today, 77 tomorrow, 81 on Tuesday, then 74 on Wednesday and Thursday, with the next chance of rain after tomorrow holding off until Friday, and that doesn't look all that great, maybe just an isolated storm. So overall, if you picked this week to take off for work, it's going to be a pretty good week outside of Monday.
Sounds like nice, and while... you know, I love having the windows open. I love having the nice cool breeze. When I feel the nice cool breeze, I just can't help thinking, summer's over, autumn's here, where's my snow shovel?
Yeah, no.
Those are the three steps for me in my head.
It's not going to happen that fast. Hopefully, boy, it better not. Because we had a late start to summer. And,
I know. That's why I thought we'd have an extended summertime a little.
You know, I was. It kind of looked like that for a while, but now, you know, for the next, 10 to 14 days, temps are looking at or a little bit below normal. So nothing real extreme, nothing snow shovel-ish, certainly, but, 70s and maybe a day or two there with the temps in the 60s. So a comfortable, last year at this time, we were in the middle of a heat wave. We had some lower 90s. We had quite the heat wave going on. So nothing like that anytime in our future. But, you know, we do usually get a stretch of 90s in September. So, you know, we're not done with it yet. It's about a 70 or 80% chance that we'll get to two or three 90-degree days in a row and sometime in September.
I don't know how closely you follow the plight of the glaciers in the melting. But there was a pretty significant story this week that a historic glacier is almost completely gone now because of the climate change.
Right.
I'm wondering, I mean, are we going to continue to see anything like this? Was it just an anomaly that this happened to happen? Or are there definite patterns in the weather that indicate that things like that may continue to happen?
Yeah, unfortunately, no. It's happening worldwide. The glacier recession, there's no doubt about it. Yeah, I saw that, there was a funeral held, right. I believe, for one of the glaciers.
Right.
It was either in Iceland or Greenland, I think. They're just definitely disappearing. I was up in Alaska a few years ago, and there's this road you drive down, and there's signs along the road. They don't tell you what the signs mean, but, you know, it says, like, 1904 and then 1949. Eventually, you figure out those are the years, and when you get to the end of the road, the sign says that those are where the glacier was those years, and obviously the glacier is gone. Because you're driving on the road, but it's not just a short-term thing. It's been accelerated because of the warming Earth, but it's been a long-term thing where the glaciers are definitely disappearing, not only in the northern hemisphere, but across the globe.
Yeah, this was in Iceland, just northeast of Reykjavik, where they actually put up a plaque mourning the loss of the Ojukul Glacier. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Icelandic names are really tough.
Yeah, there's little funny,
you did pretty well there.
Funny little marks and things above the letters. I'm sure I'm butchering it. I apologize. But so that seems to be happening. But, you know, as we look at unusual weather patterns here in the United States and you hear stories like that, you wonder, what it is that's going on, or if there are patterns like that. Most meteorologists who study this, I know, if you even mention this subject to Tom Skilling, stand by for a half an hour lecture of why it's happening. He's very, very passionate.
Oh, yeah, he's really researched it, and he's, such a smart guy, and he's researched it. He continues daily, research, and he's an encyclopedia on global warming or climate change, and he's incredibly knowledgeable and very interesting to listen to some of the information that he's put together on it. Absolutely, absolutely.
I can imagine what some of the conversations must be like back in the WGN weather office when you get all the meteorologists together back there. And, not only the ones that you see on TV, but all the other weather experts who work with you guys, putting together Tom's weather page and, all the different things that you put together. It must be a very interesting scientific whirlpool of ideas and thoughts and comments.
Yeah, such smart people back here. What a great crew, not only from the on-air people, but from behind the scenes people. We've got three or four guys, retired National Weather Service guys,
right,
that help Tom out with the newspaper and sometimes, in the behind the scenes with the TV too. And these guys with 30, 40 years experience and just a great crew here. I'm incredibly lucky and privileged to be able to work with all the people here. I do with the WGN Weather Center. It's definitely a special place. And yeah, there are some good conversations that get in depth, and you'd expect that with the brain power that my colleagues have. Absolutely. And sometimes it gets a little more fun too. And hopefully the mic isn't left on at times accidentally, because
I was going to say, considering the number of cases of vodka that I've seen roll back there.
Oh, that's all Conrad's.
That's Conrad. That explains.
Yeah, that's why we blame it on it.
Everyone thinks that's a bottle of water that he has on the morning show every day. I guess now that explains the whole deal. Well, no, great work there. And thank you for the nice forecast for today and this coming week. And we'll keep an eye on the website for all the latest updates on that. Thank you,
Mike. Enjoy the day. Absolutely. Thank
you. There is meteorologist Mike Hammernick. Not flashed back several years. It's a Cubs song on WGN, what do you know? To celebrate the new musical Miracle that has just been recently extended here in the Chicago area at the Royal George Theater. And we have many of the cast members from Miracle in studio with us this morning. And nice to have everybody here. And I'm just going to have everybody go around the room to introduce themselves. Go ahead.
Norm. Hi, I'm Norm Boucher. I play Pops.
My name is Byron Willis, and I play Larry.
I'm Michael Kingston. I play Weslowski and the Sleaze.
I'm Veronica Garza. I play Babs.
I'm Elise Wolf. I play Danny.
Good morning. I'm Brandon Dahlquist, and I play Charlie Delaney.
Nice to have you all here with us, and some back again.
Yeah. We've acted together, Dean.
We have acted. We have performed together. I'm surprised that you even admit that.
I take great pride.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I would leave that out of my resume conveniently.
No, I lead with it, Dean.
from It's a Wonderful Life.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your turn as Mr. Potter is legendary.
My Mr. Potter and your George Bailey.
That's right. That's right, Dean.
Yeah. What people? Wow. Yeah. Theater historians years from now will be talking about her. And somehow you've managed to get another job. After
I don't know
that.
How. It's going well.
Yeah, nobody listens here, so I'm safe. But somehow you've managed to get a job after that. You guys have to be having a blast. It's really amazing to me that outside of Bleacher Bums, there really has not been another Cubs play or musical, you know, or something along the way. It's really kind of amazing, given the affection for the Cubs here in Chicago.
Yeah, it's a great fan base. They've really showed up. Cubs fans, there's the Venn diagram of musical people and Cubs fans. There's a lot of them. And they're coming out to see the show. And, you know, we have, truthfully, standing ovations every night, authentically. It's a great ending every night. It's a family show, so people are really excited to kind of come with their intergenerational, you know, grandfathers, granddaughters.
Yeah.
It's pretty special.
It really does work for all generations. Now, are you the youngest cast member?
Yes, I'm 13.
13 years old. Yeah, nice to have you in with us today. What's this like for you? Because, I mean, you know, a lot of us have been long-suffering Cub fans through the years. So the fact that there is something which celebrates the World Series win and all that, you know, you're kind of new to all of this.
Yeah, I didn't have to wait too long for them to win. I had 10 years and then I was good.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun seeing people come in because you see these people who have been Cubs fans their whole life and then they come in and they are reliving it and it's just incredible for them to see and for us to put on for them.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about the premise and just the show itself. And what it's about.
Well, it's about the Delaney family, and they own a bar in Wrigleyville, and their fate is sort of tied in with the Cubs and whether they win or not. And happy endings all around, thanks to the Cubs winning the World Series every single night at the Royal George.
Yeah, you are bringing in some actual Cubs players. As well, that had to be fun for you guys as well, right? When we see them on the news every once in a while, and they come and lead everybody and take me out to the ball game or something, right?
Yeah, Michael Kingston and I get to do the seventh inning stretch with Cubs players sometimes, and that is not normal.
Not at all.
In the musical.
Because they stink, you mean?
They're not
trained singers, you know, performers like you.
No, but they are. They're very calm when they get on stage.
Really?
And they have a great energy and they're used to being in front of an audience. Mm-hmm, so they've got it.
Yeah, yeah. No, Carrie Wood and David Ross, and I listen to hear if they're singers, and all of them are nailing it.
Really?
So, oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I lean in close enough so I can hear if they can actually sing.
Right.
And
so you can talk about them backstage if they can.
Did you hear that voice on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they all sing. They all sing.
Have there been, some Cubs moments with some of the actual players when they've been there?
We usually just get to hang out with them after the show, get a photo.
I'm sorry to jump in here, but when Dave Ross came to see the show, there's several Dave Ross mentions because Charlie Delaney, the character in the show, played college ball with him. And the audience lost their minds every time we just said his name. And when he hit his home run in the series at the end of the show, they show it, and you couldn't hear the play for another minute because the audience went crazy for him.
Wow. It was electric. Yeah, it was absolutely electric that night. It was so cool.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. And the people are really reacting to the show that it's been extended now. What do you think's driving all of that?
I think people just love having a good time. It's impossible to walk out of the theater without having a smile on your face. The songs are great. The story, obviously, it's a happy ending if you're a Cubs fan. And I really think people enjoy having a good time at the theater, and that's what we're giving people.
Yeah. It's at the Royal George Theater, which is, you know, it's not the biggest house. It's not a tiny house by any means, but it's intimate enough that, like, you're actually seeing people's faces while you're performing this. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting a sense that you must get a sense of the kind of instant reaction and tapping into something that's so much a part of people's lives while you're doing this. Is that right?
Yeah, we can see the audience members, and I've learned that when people are feeling emotional, they touch their face.
Really?
They, like, hide their eyes or their mouth because they're scared and excited. And when we win, we can see people crying, and it's emotional for us.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah, Wilson Contreras had tears in his eyes when he was watching the video of the seventh game. Yeah.
Is it intimidating in any way having some of the players there while you're doing it?
Sometimes when we're singing about the Cubs losing a lot, I feel a little bad.
But we
make up for it in team spirit, and in the end, we're all so overwhelmed by the win.
Well, I mean, there is a history with this team, so
yeah.
It's not like it's the first time they've heard anything about the lovable losers.
But I feel bad.
Yeah, it's part of the deal. But to do it right to their faces
is
something completely different. All right, let me take a break. We're going to come back, and you guys are going to perform a couple of songs. That's all coming up for you in a minute. Miracle is at the Royal George Theater, now extended through September the 29th. We'll tell you how to get tickets in a minute. So you're going to do a couple of songs for us, Norm. What is the first one that you're going to do?
Well, the first song is called The Voice Above the Crowd, and the song's got a kind of a rich history. It was written in 1999 by Julian Frazen, and it was written for the dedication of the Jack Brickhouse statue on Michigan Avenue. Dennis DeYoung performed it at the 2003 All-Star Game at Sox Park. And it's used in our show as a way for the grandfather character, Pops, to connect with his granddaughter, Danny, while they're at the game. And he fondly remembers listening to the Cubs broadcasts with his late wife.
Oh, okay.
So there's great video footage of Harry Carey and Vince Lloyd, Lou Boudreau, and Ron Santo. And so Norm is going to sing us The Voice Above the Crowd.
Nice WGN connection. Guys, take it away.
He gave us hope. He shared our dream. No matter what the score, he cheered for our home team. Behind the mic, he made us proud. Each time we'd hear his voice, the voice above the crowd. We'd hear his voice so loud and clear, and in that moment all our doubts would disappear. We have a chance, he'd shout out loud. We're going all the way, hey, hey, above the crowd. It was his time, a different day, when hometown heroes never used to go away. It was a time, we like to say, when those who played the game still had a sense of play. He was the voice up in the booth, so finely etched into the memories of my youth. Somewhere out there, beyond the crowd, I know it lingers there, the voice above the crowd.
You didn't tell me you're going to make me cry here.
Hey, there you go.
Nobody told me that was going to happen.
You do see audience members wiping tears away, especially the ones that lived through Brick House. And
Lord, of course you. That song brings back every memory.
Absolutely.
Of running home and watching Jack Brickhouse on TV. Absolutely. So what? Did you get something even more depressing for me?
No. We're gonna send you out with a banger, certified bop.
All right, it's a more upbeat song.
Yeah, this one is written by our fabulous composer and lyricist of the show, Michael Mahler. He's a Chicago guy.
Been here many times.
He has been.
Well.
Yeah, he's been with What's a Wonderful Life as well.
Yeah.
Mike's just great, super talented,
super guy. Yeah,
great man. And he wrote a great score for us. And this takes place in the second act. This is kind of the community that hangs out at Maggie's bar, rallying around Charlie to try to get him to see the good. And this song is called You Gotta Have Faith.
From Miracle at the Royal George Theater.
You don't get it, Charlie. Perhaps the situation is less than ideal, and all the problems you mention, I admit they are real, but there is one little fact that you left out of your spiel. We're not your tenants, we're your pals. We've been through hard times before, we'll be through hard times again, but just hold on a little longer, and I promise you when we put a woman in the White House, things will finally be zen. So let's hear it for the gals. You gotta have a little faith. You gotta have faith. Your car may have a flat tire, but you don't light it on fire. You have faith.
I can't believe what I'm hearing. Hey, Delaney, what gives? It's like we all had our backs turned, clutching your shivs. You used to describe you with such superlatives. Now I have to eat my words. Nah, 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 nah. If you were in so much trouble, why'd you fare Mayor Bush? Cause if you got a problem, we can find the solution. Sure, the sleaze may be handsome, but he's also a douche. Don't align yourself with turds.
You gotta have a little faith. Sure, money, but faith.
Cause when you're all that loose ends, you don't evict all your friends.
I understand why you scoff, but we could be better off.
Okay, you're sad and defiant, but we got freaking Chris Bryant, so how?
Look, I know this place, cheer and clover. But things are not as desperate as they seem. Nothing's ever over till it's over. Don't you turn your back on your team. Centuries of losing don't define us. We're the ones who show up every year. Don't let doubt and dirtbags undermine us. Can't you see the good we've got here?
Cups, friends, and beer. The only thing you lack is faith. Your family has faith.
But if you fall into bar, then fix your own freaking car.
And find new customers, dear, cause we're your regulars here.
Remember all that you lose. Hey, buddy, don't you refuse to have faith.
Look at that. That's fantastic. Great job on that. Thank you. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Are you all right?
I panicked. I couldn't hear it at first. We're good. We're good.
We had a small headphone snafu in there. Fantastic. Wow. That's how much fun is this?
It's a lot of fun.
Perform this every night.
It's a lot of fun because we get a different audience. Until every audience member says at the end of the show, it's such a cute show. It's a good family show. So it's a lot of fun. We do get to do it every 7 days a week. And I'm happy to take over a role from Jonathan DePriest Butler. So, so I'm glad to be on board.
Is every show a little bit different, too? I mean, every audience must be a little bit different,
reacts
a little differently.
Yes, we actually talk about that in the dressing room. We're like, okay, this is the one. Mm-hmm. And Norm always said, oh, they can stick around.
Yeah.
And we have a good one.
Just want to keep the good audiences there.
And if they look quiet, we like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, what do we have to do? What are we doing wrong?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Somebody texted while you were performing asking, will there be a CD that's put out from the show? It sure makes a lot of sense.
I don't know that answer. I think we'd all really like it. I just don't know the answer to that. I think it would be a good idea.
Well, let's put the idea out into the universe.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's put the idea out into the universe. And somebody also said, this would be great to perform during the off season in Arizona.
That has also been talked about.
Right? Yep. Yes, please.
I wouldn't mind 6 weeks in the sun.
No, neither would I.
Spring training, of course.
What else is there to do in Arizona?
All the producers in the next room are like, stop talking.
Stop talking about it.
Stop talking about stuff.
Oh, that's funny.
A lot of fun. And aren't you guys doing something special for the anniversary show?
We are.
Coming Friday night is
Friday the 30th. We're celebrating
your 108th performance, right?
Yep. And we've got some cool stuff. We're doing complimentary Eli's Cheesecake and Byron's Hot Dogs. We're doing some prizes, gift cards and raffles and stuff. Some gift cards would be for Cassati's Pizza, Ocean Prime Steakhouse, and Carnival Restaurant.
So nice.
It's going to be kind of a fun party.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The best way to get tickets and such is the Royal George box office.
Correct, and that number is 312-988-9000.
Or miraclethemusic.com or ticketmaster.com. Guys, thank you all so much for coming in. We'll look forward to seeing you all again soon. And thank you very much for coming in.
You bet.
Thanks, Dean.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, we appreciate it. That singer,
forget the sun,
Sting,
in his jealous sky.
Dear Stingle,
as we walk in fields of
is that Ravinia the last couple of nights, I believe.
I like him. And I liked all the stuff he did when he was with the police and the cops and robbers group, too.
For to gaze a while.
It's outstanding. Sting is going to have a chapter when I get around to writing my book about...
I can't wait to read that.
...my celebrity interviews. Sting has a special distinction that no other celebrity has been able to top of all my years of interviewing the A-listers.
And what might that be?
I don't think I should mention
it
right
now. You're not going to mention it now.
Yeah.
You're going to tease us.
Well, I'm going to, I'm not writing a book. I'm just I'm just saying that if I ever
you get around to writing a book.
If I ever get to the point where I'm not as lazy as I am right now, that I will write a book and that Sting has a special chapter all to himself. I think I have hinted at it once.
Can I just add, is this a good thing or not so good
thing? I'm going to say not so good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to say some people would consider it to be not so good.
I can't wait to see the chapter on Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones, not a very pleasant person. That I don't want to say. I would just like to consult my attorneys before I openly discuss. Before there's any Sting conversation, I would like to.
So he stung you, huh?
In a manner of speaking, yes.
Okay.
In a manner of speaking. That's coming up later.
First of all, I'm just thankful for being home for the holidays.
I'm just thankful that I met Michelle this year, and now I get to spend Thanksgiving with your family. You know, I'm really looking forward to getting to know you guys.
Yeah. Oh, I'm thankful that someone in this family has a date. I was going to bring a guy I met on Match.com, but after we exchanged photos, I never heard from him again.
Remember her as Debbie Downer, but so many other fantastic roles, both on Saturday Night Live and in motion pictures. Rachel Dratch is a former Chicagoan and is back in town for, as we have been talking about today, National Toilet Paper Day. And Rachel joins us on the phone line right now. Rachel, if I may be the first to wish you a happy National Toilet Paper Day.
Thank
you. I mean, usually I spend this with my family, but I made an exception for Chicago today.
It's very nice. And as we've been announcing, the banks will be open tomorrow. mail will be delivered.
Thank goodness.
For National Toilet Paper Day. How did you...
It's a day of deep reflection.
Yes, it what is. It's a two-ply day of deep reflection.
Yeah. Here we go.
How did you get involved with such a prestigious event?
Well, you know, how five come. I got the call. You know, the call every actor wants to receive. Will you participate in National Toilet Paper Day? And, you know, I immediately called all my friends, told them, you know, my moment had arrived. No, I got this call to come participate in this event today at Navy Pier. And I'm always excited to come back to Chicago. I haven't been back here in a while. And we're going to be improvising there at Navy Pier today with some of my old Second City cohorts. I've gathered a little gang. So we're going to be doing some improv. So that's what I'm doing here today. Yeah.
It sounds like this is going to be so much fun. It's actually called the Superior Clean Improv Show. This is how it's described in the press release.
Keep it clean.
Yeah, well, it says this is described as a hysterically clean improv set inspired by toilet etiquette.
Wow! All right.
So the bar is set high.
I'm hoping it won't all be about bathroom humor, although from my improv experience, that is a suggestion that gets yelled out a lot. So we can, you know, actually fulfill all of those suggestions that we usually. We get a little tired of the toilet humor, but today it's all about toilet humor, everyone.
Well,
I have a 9-year-old son, so I wish he were going to be here today because he would be way into this. But
you must be. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, this, you know, something about the toilet is probably my highest achievement in his mind. So
there is nothing greater than toilet humor for a 9-year-old.
Right.
In addition to this comedy improv show that's going to be going on at Navy Pier, there is there's an art show. There is
there's carnival games.
Yeah,
and apparently there's a giant slide that is a toilet paper roll. So kids, come on out. You know you'll be your kid's hero if they get to slide down a giant roll of toilet paper.
Yeah, the giant toilet paper. It's called the Cleaning Ripples Slide. I would like to meet the person that had to write this press release. Now, in addition to all of that, I am told that Cottonelle toilet paper, toilet tissue, will be handing out samples of their flushable and non-flushable toilet products.
Okay.
So people will also be able to get samples. So
come on down, people.
Yeah, come on down anyway.
It doesn't get better than this.
It starts at 11. It goes until 6 o'clock. How are you doing outside of your involvement in the world of toilet paper?
I'm good. Let's see. I was just I did the movie Wine Country with my SNL and actually two of my Chicago buddies, Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. That came out on Netflix in the spring, so that was super fun. And I was just doing a couple episodes of Shameless this week. So I play I guess I can't say what I play, but it's a pretty funny character.
That's such a good show, right?
Things are cruising on. Yeah. It's so extreme. So I get to do some crazy things in this. So that was super fun. And I'm living in New York, but I always love getting back to Chicago because this is where I started out, and I love Chicago. And I'm not just saying that because I'm talking to you.
Yeah. How much time did you spend living here?
I lived here for 9 years. From 89 to 98, and I moved out here like knowing nobody. Like I moved out here with my suitcase full of comedy dreams, and because back then, like, you know, well, I mean, it still is an improv mecca, but there was no scene in New York back then either. So Chicago was the place to be, and so you know, I wanted to do Second City, and I did. I ended up doing Second City, Improv Olympic, all that, and made my lifelong comedy friends here too. So it holds a special place in my heart whenever I. whenever I see the skyline driving in.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, it's whenever I see that you're going to be on a television show, in a movie, in something, I know that there's always going to be plenty of funny in it.
Thank you.
You know, I wish we saw you. You know, I hope we see you even more. And I know you've got some other projects that are coming up as well. But I'm glad you could take a couple of minutes to talk to us today. And now that I know your involvement in the world of toilet paper, I cannot even tell you how much more respect I have for you right now.
Thank you. Thank you. I respect myself today, too. Yeah.
Rachel Dratch and friends for the big Superior Clean Improv show. That's going on inside Navy Pier. It starts at 11 o'clock this morning. It's great to talk to you, and I hope we see you in person soon. Thanks, Rachel.
Thanks. Thank you so much. Hey, good looking. Whoa, you got cooking. How's about cooking something of me? Eat it, eat it, eat it.
Time to eat. Welcome into Food Time, Chicago Radio's original cooking and dining show. The award-winning All Things Edible program heard every Sunday at this time. We've got a bite-sized version of the show this week. The White Sox pregame that's coming up at 12:35. Our Food Time show this week sponsored by Greek Islands Restaurant, America's largest Greek restaurant. And on the show this week, I thought we would check in with our pal Shelley Young, who is the chef owner of The Chopping Block. But it's in Lincoln Square. That's in the Merchandise Mart, choppingblock.com. They do all things culinary, cooking classes, all kinds of culinary fun. Shelley, great to have you with us. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dean.
So I was just thinking about a friend of mine had a birthday party at the Chopping Block about a year or so ago. That was one of the most fun nights that there is, where, you know, we all got together. We went to your Merchandise Mart location, and your staff taught us different recipes, and we all actually made the dinner that we were going to have that night. It was so much fun and so different. What a fun way to spend the evening. You guys do that all the time, don't you?
We do. You know, that's actually the biggest part of our business, which a lot of people don't realize, but, you know, those types of events we do all of the time. And, you know, I think people always love to enjoy food and drink, and we do that at, you know, at our events. But, you know, the cooking part, not everyone gets excited about at a party. Some people think that's the worst idea ever, but, you know, they tend to, those same people, you know, they'll get into the game, you know, they'll still enjoy it and maybe learn a few things, but the majority of people there, they just really love it and have a great time.
It's a very interesting dynamic, because people like me, you know, we want to get right up front and learn new things and different techniques and different recipes. But even the non-foodie people, you know, they enjoy it, and they kind of, you know, get their hands a little dirty also, and messy, and get into it, and you wind up just laughing your head off with your friends.
Exactly, yeah, and, you know, there's wine there and drinks, and that usually keeps people occupied.
That it fuels the laughter, yes, often.
Exactly.
Very true, but, I mean, I wanted to talk about veggies on the grill today, and I know that you have lots of different cooking classes for, you know, for people who are backyard grillers, but, you know, people who are a little more serious about it. You've got all kinds of cooking classes at the Chopping Block, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about
that. We grill, you know, grilling, you know, so the grilling specifically, you know, I talked about that for the summer. At our Lincoln Square location, we have an outdoor classroom. And we get to have that classroom for usually about, depending on the weather, you know, depending on the Chicago weather, you know, 4 to 5 months of the year. And we do, you know, everything imaginable that we can come up with to be outside, because, you know, we are in Chicago, you know, you know, the minute you have some decent weather, you want to be outside. So we have, you know, tapas on the grill. We have seafood on the grill, veggies on the grill, how to, you know, meat on the grill. We do a lot of ethnic classes like, you know, Argentinian grill, you know, you kind of name it. Sometimes I just do classes out there, you know, like an ice sculpt class, just because people want to be outside and it's a beautiful day.
Yeah. I actually, when I was looking at your calendar on your website, thechoppingblock.com, the tapas on the grill class is actually going on right now till 1 o'clock. It's probably a little late for anyone to get there right now, but take a look at the website for some of the other classes that they have. But in this tapas,
one of the cool things, Dean, is too when you look on the website, what's neat is we just launched a mobile friendly calendar, so you can sign up on your phone and everything. So we're really excited about that.
Oh, that's very cool. The tapas on the grill, though, I mean, you're doing a rosé sangria. I presume you make from scratch, right?
We do. We do. We we also sell wine. We do wine classes. And so we teach people that. We have happy hours and things like that. So people can come and very casually just have a glass of wine and learn about wine, or come to a more serious class. But then we, of course, incorporate different drinks sometimes in our classes. That sangria recipe I was developing over the winter, it was a long, hard winter. I had to do all of these cocktail recipes. I'm telling you, it's hard work.
Do all the research.
I know. Somebody's got to do it.
Also, part of this tapas on the grill class, grilled asparagus, grilled octopus, grill pork skewers, and I'm going to try to pronounce this, escalavida, which
is
grilled peppers, onions, and eggplant salad with a cherry parsley vinaigrette. I presume, and this gets us to our topic here of the grilled veggies, the peppers, onions, and eggplant, I presume all grilled before they're turned into the salad, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, we do. There's certain types of vegetables like those. I think those are vegetables like you're talking about that, you know, people really are familiar with and maybe have some experience putting on the grill. A lot of people put onions on the grill. They put green peppers on the grill. Those things are just a natural to grill easily. They stay on the grill. You can keep a hold of them, you know.
Right.
And they handle that kind of cooking, that high heat cooking, very well. So that salad highlights those things. You know, asparagus, too, I think, is something that a lot of people are more familiar with, you know, perhaps cooking on the grill again, because it doesn't require a whole lot. It's easier to manage with the shape of the grill, and the temperature suits it very well.
I've been doing a lot of eggplant and zucchini on the grill, just slicing both, a little bit of olive oil, and then on the grill until they, you know, they get the nice char marks and soften up a little bit, and then bring them back inside, chop them up, and put them, you know, now I have the olive oil. And just put a little balsamic. Really, there's not a lot to it, but man, is it delicious, especially the second day.
Yeah, it's yummy. Yeah, you know, I think about vegetables a lot like I think about anything else. But, you know, like, compare it to meat. You know, the cooking techniques are really pretty comparable. So when you think about the vegetables that we can grill, or the steaks that were, like the beef that you might grill, you know, how some beef, you know, like a filet mignon or a strip steak, you put that on the grill, you cook it on a high heat, and it cooks really quickly. You know, and asparagus would be like that also. You can put that right on the grill, it cooks pretty quickly. Or a pepper is like that, or an onion is like that. They cook really quickly. But then you have other cuts of meat that might be like, you know, like a beef rib or a short rib. You know, if you're going to do that on the grill, it's going to require a whole other technique where, you know, something like, and you can think about it as on the stove, too, like a Brussels sprout, for example. That would take a whole lot longer to cook if you were steaming it than an asparagus.
Right.
Or if you were boiling it, right? So on the grill, when you think about your veggies and what can go on the grill, really pretty much anything can go on the grill, but it's going to take a different approach because those longer cooking vegetables, they're going to need a little different treatment on the grill, like a Brussels sprout or a potato, something like that. You're going to have to do that longer and slower and on a cooler temperature so that you don't just burn it and it's still hard as a rock.
When you say different technique, are you talking about a slower cooking time and an indirect method? So you're essentially baking it on the grill before you char it up a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, people, a lot of times, they use the grill. Like, so when I think about, it depends on the result that I want to get. If you want to get a grilled taste on a vegetable, right, you need to hit, it needs to hit some higher temperature on the grill at some point. So like in an asparagus, because it cooks so quickly, I can put that directly on the high heat and that'll cook really quickly and get some char. If I'm going to do a Brussels sprout on the grill, if I just put that on a high heat, it'll be hard as a rock and burnt, you know? So I'm going to put that on a cooler temperature in a cooler corner of the grill and slow cook it over the grill and then give it a quick char at the end on the higher heat to give it a little bit of grilled flavor. You know, most people don't really do that. They tend to, they'll stick them in aluminum foil,
yeah,
or package or something like that and put that on the grill. You know, in my opinion, I think that's fantastic. I think that's great. What you're doing is really basically using your grill like an oven to the point that you made. And you can do that, but you're not going to get grilled flavor in there.
Right, right.
You're really steaming it or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with it. I think that's great because, yeah, like, you want to go in and, you know, cook it all right there on the grill. I don't want to go inside and turn the oven on or the stove on. So I get that. But it also is possible to take those vegetables and get grill mark on it. You know, there's not many that are really difficult to do that way. Like peas are, you know, it's almost impossible to grill a pea.
Right.
You know, just because of the size, it's not because of the pea. You know, so you're going to put those in a package.
Right.
You know?
I think people do those packages to prevent their stuff from falling into the grill. But
that's true.
But they have those pans now, those, you know, stainless steel pans in some cases. Mm-hmm. They have these silicone mesh ones now.
Mm-hmm.
I get these little, they're made out of aluminum that you get like for a dollar or something at Jewel. And you can, you know, it's almost like a screen. And you can, I cook my mm-hmm. Brussels sprouts in those all the time, slowly at first, so I get the full cook. And then I move them over to the direct heat side of the grill at the end to get the nice char on them. Not one of them falls in. And it's disposable. It's super easy cleanup.
And do you get feel like you get good grill taste on that?
I do, yeah, because it's...
Yeah. I haven't used those before.
Yeah, it's just like having it on the grill, only the holes are much smaller. Give me like a great grilled vegetable recipe.
Well, you know, I'll tell you one of my very favorite things, and we're just about time for this, is grilled artichokes.
Mm.
That's a lot of people might not think about that one, you know, and I'm talking not a jarred artichoke, but a fresh artichoke. Now, that will need to be cooked first, you know, by being steamed or boiled.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to heavily salt that water. So, you know, that seasons the artichoke inside out when I use a very well seasoned, you know, water to steam it. But then what I love to do is I cut that in half, take out the little thistles in there.
Right.
And then I'll make some kind of an aioli, which you can simply make if you've got, you know, a jar of good mayonnaise in the fridge.
Yeah.
You can add, you know, your garlic and lemon and, you know, pepper and herbs or anything you want into there. But you take that and you rub that all over that artichoke and you char it on the grill.
Wow. That sounds amazing.
And that is just a great, you know, I eat that sometimes for a light dinner.
Yeah.
It's delicious for me, but it's a great party. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
So that's one of my favorite things.
Take a look at thechoppingblock.com to get more. Shelley, thank you for spending a couple of minutes with us today. Stop by the Chopping Block in Lincoln Square, also in the Merchandise Mart. Shelley Young is the chef and owner, and it's always great to chat with her. And that's it for us today.